Hey y'all, welcome back to another episode of Put It In Your Pocket, your source for all niche music trivia. My name's Caroline, and today I'm so excited to talk about Green Day for the second episode in a row. I do have a genuine fear, I'm gonna be honest, of this episode being like 60 minutes long, because we have so much to talk about, and at the end I know that I'm gonna be rambling because, oh, just y'all wait, I have a lot to say. And so we're just gonna jump right into it, guys. We're just gonna go and jump in right where we left off at 21st Century Breakdown. The next track that I'm going to play you guys is off of that same album as Last Night on Earth, 21st Century Breakdown. And it's the third track on this album. It's called Know Your Enemy. And I think it's a good way to start off the episode because it's upbeat, it's fun, it's a hit. It's been used in countless things from pop culture, video games, movies, commercials, all that stuff. And I think it's just a fun one to talk about. And 21st Century Breakdown is such a large album and such a good quality album and kind of at like the middle peak of Green Day's career that I think we're okay to do another song off of that one. It's kind of, we're going to circle back to American Idiot at the end. So this is not like all the way a linear episode, but I'm just excited to talk about this one. So, Know Your Enemy was released as the lead single of 21st Century Breakdown through Reprise Records on April 16th, 2009, and it was the group's first single since Jesus of Suburbia, released 4 years earlier off of American Idiot. It was the first and only of three songs to top the rock songs, alternative songs, and mainstream rock tracks Billboard charts all at the same time, which is crazy. It was also certified gold by the RIAA in 2013. So, wow, we're starting off with a bang. You know, the interesting thing about this song, though, is that if you talk to just like random people about this song, I feel like a lot of people haven't heard it, and that might again just like be my age showing, but this was a huge hit and it's been used in tons of different things, so I always think it's interesting to talk to people who don't know of this song. I think it's just interesting that there's like a discrepancy there, but I'm gonna get into all of the ways that this song has been used in pop culture, so strap in, it's gonna be a minute. Starting off strong, it was used as the theme song for WWE Friday Night SmackDown since the show's debut on Sci-Fi from 2010 to 2012. It's currently played in the New Orleans Saints and Green Bay Packers games when the away team comes out of the locker room. It appears in Shaun White skateboarding in NHL 10. It became available as a downloadable song for the music video game Rock Band on July 7th, 2009, along with the songs East Jesus Nowhere and 21 Guns, obviously both Green Day songs. And it's been used in the trailer for movies The Spy Next Door and Freebirds, as well as being used to promote Comcast and Wimbledon on ESPN. Woo! Wow, I'm out of breath from all that. Holy crap. Again, I bring those all up, not just to brag on my favorite punk band, but to highlight the fact that this song is just really accessible. A big thing that I talk about when I'm discussing Green Day and just their career overall is their accessibility. And I'm a lover of the way that they use punk ideology in the mainstream and tend to make it more digestible melodically so that they can, you know, kind of get away with more lyrically. And you'll see what I mean when we talk about some of the later songs we're going to play. But I just love that they have the type of wingspan to be used for a Wimbledon Comcast commercial and Shaun White skateboarding and WWE SmackDown and all of those things. I just think that that's amazing. But talking about the reception of this song is kind of a more interesting conversation to have. I'm going to start with the reviews from Bill Lamb. He did like a series of like little mini essays on like some early Green Day tracks, and one of those was Know Your Enemy, and he said that at the time the song was, quote, standard issue Green Day, and not a stroke of genius, and also not on par with their last album. But then he said it was a, quote, great appetizer for one of the most eagerly awaited albums of 2009. Similarly, Billboard said that, quote, the lead single from the band's new release, 21st Century Breakdown, finds Green Day just as politically charged as last time, talking about American Idiot. While the subject matter is broad and may be missed by some, Enemy has enough charm to amp up the airwaves until 21st Century Breakdown is released. Those are kind of both saying the same thing, which is why I bring them up at the same time. But I think that's so interesting that, you know, two things can be true at once. I think that you can say that something works really well as a single, or it works really well in the context of the album, but it's not always both. To me, I'm going to be honest, Know Your Enemy works better as a single in my mind than it does overall on the album. I think that it's really strong on air. It sounds great. You know, it gets you pumped up and it does make you want to hear more from, you know, their discography. And if I was a fan in 2009 waiting on this release, I would definitely be super excited for the album. So I think that sometimes you can kind of forget how strategically important singles can be for an album rollout, but they are incredibly important. You know, with the release of Taylor Swift's new album on October 3rd, this kind of argument comes to mind because she's not doing a single and she absolutely doesn't need to. I mean, she could have a number one hit just releasing it tonight, but you know, as a fan and someone really anticipating that album release, it is very disappointing because, you know, an album rollout for a music fan is like our Super Bowl. You know, when that new Conan Gray album came out last month, I was losing my mind for like 4 months because a music video teaser would come out or, oh, he's dropping a new single in 3 weeks. I have to get ready. Like, you know, all of this stuff. And that's fun. Again, that's like playing the game as a music fan. And I think that that can kind of be a lost art for some artists, you know, when they get big. And I just love that, you know, people recognize the importance of singles like Know Your Enemy, even though we can agree that it's definitely not the best quality song that they've ever made. I do still think it's a great track and it's very solid. But conversely, Pitchfork Media described it as having a, quote, pedantic stiffness and nothing more than a rote protest song preaching to the converted. So obviously that's a more pessimistic approach to this song, but I do think that's interesting that they say they're preaching to the converted here, because by this time Green Day has a almost cult following. They have a very large fan base, you know, as we would think of it today, and they're selling stadiums out, all of the things that Green Day does. And I just think it's, you know, also an interesting conversation of what do you do when a little punk band from the coast of California is, you know, being talked about as Super Bowl headliners? What do you do when they're, you know, touring all over the world and they're festival headliners and, you know, they have their faces on t-shirts all around the globe? You know, I think that that is an interesting transition that maybe before Green Day hadn't really been seen to that level yet. But another interesting question that this song poses itself is, who is the enemy? And that's the opinion that I'm definitely going to get from all of the people that are listening to this episode, you know, that I talk to on a daily basis, because I find that question and answer so interesting. But this song is going to provide you with a lot more questions than it is answers. Who is the enemy? Do you know the enemy? Do you know your enemy? And I think that answer is going to differ a little bit for all of us, but that sort of differing answer is what makes it such an interesting piece in the first place. So I think you can kind of take two sides of that of, you know, maybe it makes a song more shallow because of that, or does it make it more interesting because we have to think of it for ourselves? I can definitely see both sides on that. And I think that's kind of what, you know, Pitchfork Media is kind of getting at a little bit there. But the last thing I'm going to say about this song is that, you know, I just love that it's so fun because it's kind of written like a battle cry or a battle chant. Billy Joe Armstrong is famous for writing things with how they're going to be performed live in mind. He does that with songs like Holiday and American Idiot and stuff like that. And so the little like onomatopoeia sounds in here definitely add to that. And that makes it a lot more fun and like kind of interactive. So definitely a fun one to like scream sing in your car. Not that I've ever done that or anything, but finally, without further ado, give Know Your Enemy a listen. And I'm very interested to see what everybody thinks about this song and who the enemy is.
Oh, God.
Doesn't that song make you want to, like, go and throw a brick through, like, the window of Congress or something? I don't know. I don't know what cool and, like, edgy people do. You know, I really try to be cool enough for Green Day's music, and I don't know if I'm there yet, but, oh, I just love that song. It's so much fun. But we're moving on to something a lot softer. You can have soft Green Day. It's a song called When It's Time, and I chose this specifically because it's on the release of the American Idiot Broadway cast recording. This is like the big, like, put it in your pocket moment I've been waiting for when talking about Green Day, because not a lot of older fans of Green Day know that they have the Broadway musical. And it's just like something super fun because I think it's really unexpected and kind of not what people think of from them. But when you get to talking about it, it actually makes a lot of sense. But When It's Time, specifically, was written by Billy Joe when he was 19 for his longtime wife, Adrienne, just like all of the love songs they have are. And I will admit, this song does feel very 19-year-old songwriter. It's not, like, super mature, but it's kind of akin to your song by Elton John, where, like, lyrically, you can tell it was written by a teenager, but it's a classic because it's just a great love song. And, you know, it doesn't have to be the next great American symphony for us to appreciate it and you to think it's a cute love song. I think it's great. And it's one of my all-time favorites from Green Day, obviously, because I picked it for this. But it was not officially published when Billy Joe was 19. It actually only came out on the stage adaptation of American Idiot. So while this is a Green Day original written a long time ago, it was not released until American Idiot had the Broadway show. And talking specifically about American Idiot the musical, it is a sung-through rock musical that uses Green Day's, like, little moments from their discography to tell the stories of three young men, Johnny, Tunney, and Will. So the way that this musical works is it's what we call a jukebox musical, where you have what's going on, obviously, like, in your plot, but it's songs that have already come out from singers. It's not songs that are written for the musical. So even When It's Time was not written for the musical. It was just included for the first time on the album. But that's kind of how it works. But the three young men that I talked about, Johnny, Tunney, and Will, are the main characters. And they deal, between all of them, with the tragedies of war, love, loss, other very Green Day motifs and themes. All of those things are things that pop up in their music a lot, especially on American Idiot, the original album. And something really cute that I love about this musical is that every live performance ends with the cast coming out and doing curtain call and playing Good Riddance on their acoustic guitars. I just think that that's awesome. And while Green Day did not appear in the production, Billy Joe Armstrong did perform the role of Saint Jimmy occasionally throughout the run, especially when it first came out. So that, I think that's kind of cool too. That would be something super fun in the audience to, like, recognize. And it does make sense for Green Day to have Theater production. I think that's something that when you hear the fa that fact for the first time, you're kind of caught off guard. You're like, Green Day has a Broadway musical? Like, what? Green Day is extremely theatrical. That character that I just mentioned, Saint Jimmy, who Billie Joe Armstrong played a few times throughout the original run, is named after the song Saint Jimmy from American Idiot, and that song was written to be a character. Like I mentioned, American Idiot is a rock opera. 21st Century Breakdown is a rock opera, and both of those things are theatrical in nature, and they talk about characters and settings. Dookie did that as well, had characters and settings and plots and stuff like that. So Billy Joe is, I don't know if a lot of people are going to get this reference, but Spencer Charnas is the lead singer of a band called Ice Nine Kills, and they are extremely theatrical. And I always thought that they remind me of each other because they both love hardcore music, but that typically does not pair well with, Broadway sing-alongs, but it does for them. Those are two people that make it work really well. And I think when you're really passionate about making political statements, that comes through really well in characters and like exemplary things like that. So I just think that's a super interesting kind of thing to talk about, but it does really make sense when you study Green Day and their writing style. I think that it goes very well. But as for American Idiot, it won two Tony Awards for Best Scenic Design of a Musical and Best Lighting Design of a Musical. It also received a nomination for Best Musical Overall. And in 2011, its Broadway cast recording won a Grammy Award for Best Musical Show Album. So it is very well received. My resident musical theater expert, one of my friends, said that he approves and that it is a good musical. So he's the one that's going to fact check that for us. I don't know enough about theater to say, but yeah, it is. It's very Green Day, I will say that. Even if you just look up pictures of like the set design and the costuming, it's very Green Day. So yeah, that's just a again a fun thing to put in your pocket. Green Day has a Broadway musical, and it is very well received, and it's Gavin approved. For all those wondering what my friend thinks of it, but yeah, that's just kind of one of my favorite things to bring up when talking about Green Day and their career. I think it's unexpected for a lot of people and very interesting. But I'm gonna play you When It's Time, and for context, this song plays like near the end of the musical, and it is like kind of an immature love confession from one of the characters. But I also just love this song. I think it's a great like slow dance song. To me, it's a very wedding song. And like I said before, it really feels a lot like Your Song by Elton John, and that like it's not the most mature writing, but it's so cute that I don't even care that it's not like Bob Dylan level writing. I just think that it's so cute, and I hope you'll agree with me.
Words get trapped in my mind. Sorry, I don't take the time to feel the way I do. 'Cause the first day you came into my life, my time ticks around you. But then all the love is trapped in.
I feel like we are very quick to underestimate the power of a Green Day love song. We don't talk about their like soft ballads enough. That and Last Night on Earth are just so underappreciated. Like I mentioned, Last Night on Earth is one of my favorite songs of all time, and that side of Billy Joe's writing is just phenomenal. But I say that, and we're about to pivot to something completely different. Guys, we have finally arrived to my favorite Green Day song of all time. And I think you guys are going to be surprised. It's a very basic answer, but also just one of my favorite songs of all time. I am so excited to talk about Holiday. Hopefully you like the song Holiday. If you don't, you're in for a very long next segment because I'm about to go ham on this song. I could talk about this song for hours. I love it. It's always been my favorite Green Day song. And oh, I'm just so excited. Let's get into it because this is going to take me 30 minutes no matter what I do. But Holiday, if you've noticed on the American Idiot track listing, it's actually originally a prelude to Boulevard of Broken Dreams, which to me is like the ugly stepsister of Holiday. I mentioned that I don't like that song, but originally Green Day intended for it to be a lead-in to Boulevard of Broken Dreams, which was later released as a single on March 14th, 2005, talking about Holiday. So they were put out separately later because of Holiday's success and to make it more radio friendly, but they do go together, technically. And Holiday reached number 19 on the US Billboard Hot 100 and number 1 on the Hot Modern Rock Tracks and Hot Mainstream Rock Tracks charts. It debuted at number 11 in the UK and reached the top 20 in Canada, Denmark, Ireland, New Zealand, and Norway. So Europe really was loving on this song, which is interesting because of its subject matter, but we'll get into that soon. And Holiday took about 2 months to finish writing because apparently Billy Joe Armstrong continually felt that his lyrics like weren't good enough and that it was inspired by the music of Bob Dylan, which makes a lot of sense when you listen to the lyrics. But he's quoted on saying that he felt like he was trying to imitate him so much that he couldn't really rise to that level. I mean, that's a very big bar to try and aspire to. And eventually he just had to give up and kind of do his own thing. You can still see the remnants of like Dylan-esque lyricism in this, but stylistically, it is very different. And so like, I can see how he kind of veered away from that. But I've always wondered what the original versions were. He says that there's like several versions of Holiday out there that just weren't chosen or that were expounded upon. And I would kill to get my hands on those. That's just something that I think about all the time. But he also said that he wanted to write something stronger than American Idiot with harsh language to illustrate the points that he was trying to make. American Idiot is also a very like rigid song lyrically. But I would say that Holiday gets away with a lot more. It's so interesting to me how radio friendly Holiday is. I think that part of the reason is because you can't really understand what Billy Joe is saying. The first like 100 times I listened to the song, I would kind of mumble certain parts because like, what is he talking about? But we'll dive in a little bit into the lyrics because he's a little unintelligible sometimes on some of these verses. But I always found it very interesting how popular this song is when he's saying stuff that would ruffle a lot of feathers, especially in 2005. And I just always found that very interesting. But he did an interview after this song was released as a single about like its success, and he argued that the Bush administration was good at, quote, alienating certain groups of people to make a generalized other, and giving people an enemy made them easier to control. That is the main thesis of this song. The holiday that Billy Joe is talking about is, of course, apathy towards the political climate at the time. America in 2005 obviously was going through a lot. We're still dealing with 9/11 and all of those things, but we're also, in the middle of the Bush administration, and there's just lots of tension everywhere, especially on the punk scene. And obviously, Billy Joe has a lot to say about that because when does he not? And he's arguing in this song that when we take a holiday from these glaring issues and we try to shy away from them, or we just listen to whatever the media is telling us, which is more like an American Idiot type theme, that we give the power to people in the White House, or people in Congress, or just people who control the news, and we participate in that generalized other issues. Obviously, some big themes going on here. It's just kind of a lot, especially in the bridge. Oh, I can't wait to talk about the bridge. But that's like the main thesis of this song. And I mentioned before when talking about Know Your Enemy that Billy Joe would write certain songs with stadium chants in mind. And Armstrong is quoted as saying that the line, "Can I get another amen, amen?" was, quote, intended to elicit a response from the audience when we perform it live. And they did go on the American Idiot tour, and Holiday was on the set list. And I just, oh, I think about that all the time, how fun that would be to hear live. I would, like, kill to get to do that. But this song was also included on the set list for the Revolution Radio Tour in 2016, where the song lyrics were adjusted to protest against Donald Trump's presidency, and they changed the line, pulverize the Eiffel Towers, to pulverize the Don Trump Tower. So I kind of mentioned that to highlight that Green Day is an evolving, politically charged band. They're doing things right now to talk about the war in Palestine and the issues in Gaza, and I just love that about them, that they are ever evolving. I think that a lot of bands that are super political can kind of take a back seat after they reach success or after they reach a certain age, and, you know, they were political then and on those issues, but Green Day has never stopped doing that. But speaking of the line, pulverize the Eiffel Towers, now we're going to talk about the bridge. The bridge on Holiday is probably why I like it so much. It is one of my favorite bridges of all time as a person who is obsessed with bridges. I'm a bridge girly, but it's just, it's the best part of the song, undeniably. It really just gets you going. I love it so much. I love the voice filter over it. I love every line that they say. I think it's incredibly intentional and well-crafted. I just love it. But let's break it down piece by piece because it is so lyrically interesting. So he opens the section with Sieg Heil to the President Gas Man, bombs away is your punishment. So those two lines reference obviously Adolf Hitler and Bush's Vice President Dick Cheney and his ties to the petroleum industry, calling him the Gas Man, and their use of the military for retaliation. So there's lots of parallels within this bridge of the Bush administration to Hitler. I'm not trying to say anything about that. Obviously, that's a big thing to say. And again, I always wonder how this song was so radio friendly, even especially back then. But that is like the reference that he continuously makes throughout this bridge. And he later says, pulverize the Eiffel Towers who criticize your government. Notice how he says multiple Eiffel Towers. This little section has been speculated to be about the Twin Towers as well. One of Hitler's big pushes through his campaign was to pulverize the Eiffel Tower and take down popular French landmarks, obviously to make them less notably French. And so there were some rumors as well with the Bush administration and all the things with the Twin Towers as well. So big accusations being made here, but they're so interesting. And then the last line of that is bang, bang goes the broken glass, which is a reference to Kristallnacht, which is the night of broken glass. During the Holocaust, when a mass, basically, terrorization of the Jewish people in shopping districts took place. And that's kind of a reference to that as well. So those specific references evoke a lot of emotion, obviously. And that inspired a lot of artists, including bluegrass cover band Hayseed Dixie, to record their own versions of Holiday. And I won't be playing that version. It's actually really bad. I got really excited when I heard about it. Guys, it's not good. But just know that there's a bluegrass cover of Holiday out there. But obviously that bridges a lot. But I wanted to break it down piece by piece because it's so interesting. So interesting. I think we kind of glaze over it a lot because, you know, it sounds cool, whatever, we hear it on the radio. But it is so incredibly well crafted. No matter what you think about what Billy Joe is saying here, I think that we can all agree that making those specific references with the type of anger and passion that he does is punk. And that's one of the things that makes me so mad when they call Green Day a poser band, is that to have the guts in 2005 to stand up and say all these things about the president that's currently in office, especially in the middle of a big war that's going on, that's a lot to put out, you know, especially through a major label, to put out as a single. And I really respect that. No matter what you think, I really respect people standing up for what they believe in and saying what they think for the betterment of the people who listen to them. And I just think that, I think that's a really brave thing to do, and I really respect it. So I always loved this song because it's just a stand-up song, and they were saying what they felt like they needed to say at the time, and I've just always loved that about Green Day. That's probably my favorite thing about them, is their ability to ever evolve and always do that for whatever cause they think fits that moment the best. And the last fact that I have for you about Holiday is that it was used in the 2005 video game Tony Hawk's American Wasteland. And that is what I'm going to leave you with today. Lots of video game and like Tony Hawk appearances from Green Day, which is strange. But I'm so excited to play Holiday. I'm assuming that everybody here has heard the song before, but I hope you kind of have a new perspective on it after all of those breakdowns and facts that we have about it. But I just think it's one of their best songs. I think it's genius. I love everything that they're saying here, and I just think it's a really brave, genuine protest song, despite what Pitchfork Media might say. They can come and talk to Caroline, how about that? But give Holiday a listen, and I know I say this every time, but please, please like it as much as I do. I'd be so sad if you didn't. Ugh, y'all, every time I hear that the representative from California has the floor, my body has like a physical reaction. I love that song so much. I will always go to bat for that song. I love it so much. I'm sure there's, in like an alternate universe, there's a Caroline that like is obsessed with Boulevard of Broken Dreams, and she just did a 20-minute segment on that, but it's definitely not this one. I will always not defend Boulevard of Broken Dreams, and I will always defend Holiday with my life. But, you know, this Green Day two-parter is a little bit different from the two-parters we've done in the past, just because it's not as linear, And their career is definitely still evolving a lot. They just had a new album come out called Saviors, and it was pretty solid. I almost played a song off of there called Susie Chapstick, but I really wanted to do Know Your Enemy. But no, it was a really solid record. They actually just wrapped up a world tour, so they're doing great. Green Day's doing great, guys. Billy Joe and Adrienne are still going strong. Trey Cool is being as weird as ever. Everybody's just having a great time. So that's another happy ending for us, I guess. But yeah, obviously Green Day is one of my favorite bands because I've said that 100 times over this two-part episode. But I really respect, like I mentioned during Holiday, their ability to just stand up and be Green Day. Ultimately, that is the point of art, to stand up and just be whoever you are, say what you have to say, however it is that you say it, whether you express it physically, through song, through poetry, whatever it is that you do. As a fellow artist myself, it's everything to me. It's my whole world. And Green Day is one of the most genuine bands that I follow by far. And you can tell through their music. People are not stupid. Fans can tell when people are being genuine. And Green Day, it just shines through them. It just radiates through them. That like genuine love for what they do. And they've always had that. And I think that's why they're so timeless. But I really hope you enjoyed my picks for these few episodes. I really hope you enjoyed the fun facts along the way. I'm sure, again, like many of the artists I talk about, Green Day will pop up again somehow because they just have the whole world in a chokehold sometimes. And they span so many different like areas of the world. It's very interesting. But I'm very excited to see what they do next. Like I said, they're always still in the studio doing their thing. Always, standing up for what's right, fighting for the underdog because they are a punk band. Okay? How dare any of the naysayers speak up against that? But yeah, I really hope you enjoyed these past two episodes. Let me know what you think, what you'd like to hear next. And as always, this is Caroline, and this has been Put It in Your Pocket. Thank you for listening.